Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
It's Chrissy Bones, Thursday Night Football, Steelers 52, Panthers 21. Steelers go to 6-2-1, Panthers 6-3. Most points by a Steelers team since 1984, most ever, at Heinz Field.
Over Bradshaw still hating on Mike Tomlin still, or is that?
Over after two plays, just about Ben Roethlisberger hit Juju Smith-Schuster for 75 yards on the Steelers' first play from scrimmage, then ran in a Cam Newton pick six on the Panthers' first play. It was 14-0 in a hurry. Schuster?
Yeah, he got
75 on the first damn play.
Yeah, exactly.
Pittsburgh scoring
and
on all.
And I said I didn't like that one.
Pittsburgh scored on all but one of its first half possessions. Was driving when time expired in the second. It's the only thing that stopped him there. Roethlisberger on the sideline for most of the fourth quarter. Should have been on the sideline for all of it. Ends up with 22 of 25, 328, and five touchdowns.
Somebody says sorry, but whatever happened to, like, duct taping someone to the goalpost?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you carried him. Like I said.
Or just, like, someone pays the tab for, like, and they ring up, like, exactly. $500 tab.
When I was a teenager, when I played, it was new. It was like, all right. And we had to steal the beer. It was basically, we didn't have money. So it's like, well, you're the kids. You guys get the beer for everyone.
Or when they make them dress like girls, that's kind of funny. Like,
no, that's not good either.
No, that's too much. Though.
No, they made us on Freshman Friday. They wait till we got to, like, on the bus. And they made us do, like, push-ups on the bus.
Yeah, see what? It's some sort of hazing in university?
Nah, this is high school.
See, that's
Friday.
Another thing. I've seen people. I've never done any of that. I start my own dorms, all right? I don't join other dorms. There's no way in hell, like, I see all Frosh Week. A bunch of kids running around the street. Hey, can I do this? And can I tie your shoe?
You're going to start a dorm?
On the forehead?
Start a dorm.
It's like, get the hell away from me.
We'll go raid Michelle's friend's panties drawer or something.
Okay.
We did that one time. We did a panty raid.
Last night, Eric Reed ejected in third quarter for hitting Big Ben on the helmet on a Roethlisberger slide. Big news in this one. James Conner left the game in the fourth after suffering a concussion. He's in protocol in danger of missing week 11 against the Jags and sets up drama as the deadline for Le'Veon Bell to report and retain his eligibility for this season is Tuesday.
This story is not done yet, and it's actually just annoying now.
It's actually just getting started.
Especially
it's going to get real interesting next week. Because next week, they're going to meet face-to-face.
I'm going to tell you guys on the other side.
Next week, they could have nobody in the backfield.
It's not the most entertaining stuff, but we'll blast through it for a minute. I'll just give you the legalese of this. I'm telling you, man, Maurice Jones-Drew went on a podcast the other day, and Jones-Drew is like, you know, knows the PA and the ins and outs and everything. And he basically stated, Le'Veon Bell found a loophole. There's a loophole that no one's ever used before in which he ain't coming back.
Because you can't tag him three times? Is
exactly.
That what it is?
Yeah.
NFL news. The Cowboys showed up pissed this week. Literally, Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott says, I mean, we're pissed. I'd have been even more pissed if I came in here and guys weren't pissed. Dallas' offense is currently 26th in the league. What
does
a second grader
saying the word pissed over and over like Jay makes things
they're
better?
Fired up now. What do second graders think of the 3-5 boys? They're pissed. 7-year-old Rylan Wood wrote a scathing letter to Jerry Jones and basically said this. Dear Mr. Jones, you made my mom very mad because we suck. Every day, she's yelling at the TV and turns off the game. We want to believe in the boys, but it's hard. I hope Coach Garrett is clapping if this letter gets to you.
That's what it's come to, Corey. Before the record,
so
guys.
Funny. I love this.
Le'Veon Bell has taken off any reference of Pittsburgh on his Twitter.
And his Instagram also, I think.
Yeah. This kid went on.
Like overnight last night, he just erased Pittsburgh from all his social media. And you know what? You don't want to overdo it, but DeMar DeRozan did the same thing and then got traded like 8 hours later. If you remember, DeMar wiped everything off.
It means something. It's like when you wipe out that picture of your ex-boyfriend.
Like a relationship. Delete the account, right?
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Every picture deleted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gone.
Anyway, Instagram, he still has pictures, and he still has pictures on his Instagram in the Pittsburgh Steelers uniform.
The kid's letter to Jerry Jones went on, see what happens when Dez X is gone? The cheerleaders are better than the team this year. I don't want to hurt your feelings. Thank you, Riley.
I think you were trying to, but it's going to take more than that to hurt Jerry Jones' feelings. Listen, because Jerry Jones is just as upset and he's just as pissed as Riley is.
He pretends to be.
Michelle will now dance on the star if we can get a shot of that. Cowboys in Philly Sunday night.
Star, Michelle.
Eagles minus seven.
You guys are going head to head later. We'll get you on our field out here.
I'm not getting on that. Michelle is not allowed to step on that star.
In the NBA, the Bucks pounded the world champs 134-111 in Oakland last night. Steph Curry left with a leg injury. He's getting an MRI in Phoenix. Kyrie Irving 39. It was Boston over the Suns 116-109 in overtime. Devin Booker, a season high of 38 there for Phoenix. Seven straight for OKC without Russell for the second game in a row. Thunder over the Rockets, 98-80. Boy, the Rockets bad. 11-41 from three. Carmelo Anthony, 2 points on 1-of-11 shooting. Also last night, the Trailblazers get to 9-3, 116-105.
I like the way Oklahoma City is playing. To me, they play better without Russell Westbrook. It's more of a team game. I'm not a Westbrook supporter. I like the way they're playing right now on this seven-game winning streak. They got a good flow to the game. They're not in the class of the Golden State Warriors. But nobody in the West is in the class of the Golden State Warriors this year. Nobody.
No, there's everybody. There's just everybody else after.
Last year, Houston was in that class. This year, nobody is.
And finally, college football news this weekend. Irish are at number three without starting quarterback Ian Book. He's out for tomorrow's game against Florida State. One game for Gabe to bet on tonight. It's Louisville at number 13, Syracuse.
And a Mountain Orange, West game.
The Orange minus 21. And
you guys
Fresno State.
East Coast bias.
Number 23, Fresno State at Boise State. Fresno minus 2.5.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Let's jump in and get serious. We're into the final hour.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
All right, level three. It's Friday. A lot of stuff to get to here. Teddy Cover is going to join us in about 10 minutes. I think he joins us about 11:10 Eastern or so. One of the best handicappers in the business. We'll throw it down with us. Talking about the Le'Veon Bell situation. Look, James Conner's lighting it up right now. Does it appear as though the Steelers need Le'Veon Bell right now? No, it does not. But I talked about the loophole situation now. There's been a lot of talk about how he has to show up by Tuesday. And he does. He does have to show up Tuesday, but... you know, this is where things get very, very complicated. So this was the old CBA. An invented a player who's designated and tendered as a franchise player has not signed a player contract with a club by the Tuesday following the 10th week of the regular season. That player shall be prohibited from playing football in the NFL for the remainder of that league year. All right, so you're not signed. You can't play. Deadline. All right. Under the new CBA... he still is able to skate in a free agency. If he doesn't play, according to the new CBA, the Steelers shall have the right to designate Bell as a franchise player or transition player in 2019. Typically speaking, in a franchise tag situation, it would be a 120% bump in the price of the tender. Except if Bell is, quote, redesignated as a franchise player for the league year following the league year in which he does not play, the player may be designated only under Section 2. And now, like I said, it's getting complicated right now.
Yeah, now you need a degree.
Yeah. All right. Long story short, they can't tender him again because he's unsigned.
Yeah, exactly.
He's played them.
He's won.
He lost the money.
Yeah.
He ain't getting the money.
But they're
but
not
all this
getting
stuff,
him.
But Le'Veon Bell doesn't know what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. And Morris Jones-Drew let it drop that, no, they have a loophole in the writing here that he's a free agent and he won't play. But he loses $15 million.
You see, that loses $15 million part, I get what you're saying. But what did I say yesterday, Michelle, about your health?
Your health is your wealth.
There you go.
Listen to this, Corey.
Your health is your wealth.
If they did tag him, you know what they would have to pay him next year?
$25 million?
Yes. There's no way in hell.
They're going to pay him $25 million.
He knows this.
Exactly.
He played them. If you're a Steeler fan, guys, Le'Veon Bell, he ain't playing next week. And I could be wrong. I'm going on record. Corey, go on record. Le'Veon Bell, I say, does not play for the Pittsburgh Steelers this year.
I agree with that. Le'Veon Bell will not play one snap as a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Right or wrong, it is what it is. And we'll get into some picks and Teddy covers.
At only 2 years old, Owen was diagnosed with aplastic anemia and urgently needed a bone marrow transplant to survive. Fortunately, an anonymous donor stepped up, and today Owen is a happy, healthy 5-year-old. Unfortunately, there are many other patients who still need a bone marrow transplant. 60% of them won't be lucky enough to get a second chance at life. You can change that. Join DKMS in the fight to delete blood cancer today Register at DKMS.org.
Football, football, football. Shout out to everybody tuning in here. We appreciate it. Shout out to everybody on YouTube right now. Terrestrial radio, including in Las Vegas, Nevada, where we're about to send it. Love isn't always on time.
This one right here is all right. This one of the few
like
songs.
Like this group, like the bass.
This is like one of the few ones I don't like.
This is one of the few songs that we
and it's garbage.
Actually sound okay.
This is just like proof that your music
Michelle, I have the...
Man, she really brings heat at you.
I have the most musically inclined mind in this building.
No, not at all.
This
Gabe
building.
Does.
No,
Gabe.
I was going to say, actually, you have the least musical knowledge
Gabe
in this.
Nobody has a better ear for good music in this whole building than the Fantasy Executive.
No.
Coming Gabe. From the man that went Hotel California, he's like, I never heard this before.
Yeah,
what's this?
Classic.
Let's go to the hotel. Hotel Las Vegas.
Hotel Covers.
Hotel. Teddy. What's up, Teddy?
Cheers, guys. How are you today?
Always Happy a pleasure. Friday. Always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us for Ted's Sportsbook Casino. All right. We're going to cut the small talk, man. We're going to get right into business here. Syracuse. Not often that if you see -20.5 next to Syracuse's name, I don't know, you expect that their basketball team's playing Colgate. But here we are right now. Pretty good year for the Syracuse Orangemen. Quick take on this Ville-Cuse game tonight, Teddy. And is it a look ahead because they have Notre Dame coming up?
I'm a Syracuse believer. I'll just put it that way. The Orange have made me a fair bit of money this year. You saw it coming in off the back-to-back 4-8 campaigns. And while, Syracuse has certainly picked up a little bit of a betting bandwagon right now, the value with the Orange isn't what it was. They're a one-way team for me. Either I'm betting on Syracuse, I'm staying away from the game.
I'm looking forward. I think they can give the Irish all they can handle next week, too. And wheels are just falling off of Petrino and company. So the big East Coast bias. We're in New York City, Teddy. Your former hometown. Now he's in Vegas. And I brought up, I said, oh, big game tonight. Boise and Fresno. And my boy Corey Parsons like, Fresno, on Boise. Who are Fresno? I said, hey, Fresno have been balling over the last couple of years. Jeff Tedford done a great job with this program. This is a big, big football game tonight. So for people on the East Coast, and you're in Mountain West country, for people on the East Coast that don't know about Fresno State, what can you tell us about them, and what's your take on them?
I mean, if people don't know Fresno and Boise, they don't pay attention to college football. You know, Fresno, been a top 25 team. Against the spread, they've been the single best team in college football this year, on the heels of being the single best team in college football last year. I believe Jeff Tedford has lost 3 point spreads in 2 years. And one of them, the game at Minnesota, the only loss they had this year, they were the right side in that game. They just had a screw up at the end and allowed the Gophers to win. So there's an enormous betting bandwagon with Jeff Tedford's Bulldogs. Obviously, McMarion has been an impressive at the quarterback position, but it's really been the Fresno defense. Number one in the Mountain West in every category. Literally, you know, yards against the rush, against the pass. The defense has been dynamite. But
tough to win on a Friday night on that blue field.
Sure. And Boise's one of these teams, they haven't been covering numbers at home the last couple of years. No. You say, oh, Boise's been a terrible point spread team at home. They haven't been in this point spread range. They're laying 20, they're laying 30, they're laying a touchdown. Last time Boise, home underdog in a conference game, 1999, when they were in the Big West. It was a long, long time ago. The market's maybe overreacting a little bit to Fresno beating up on some weaklings. When you look at the QBs Fresno has played this season, none of them come close to what they're going to see in Brett Rypien tonight, which may help explain all of their tremendous defensive statistics.
Hey, what's going on, Covers?
Hey, Corey, sounds like Fresno pretty good, even though I'm leading with Boise tonight.
No, I like it. If I looking at some of the numbers I'm looking at right now and listening to y'all talk, if I was to put something on it, I would go with Fresno. Covers, let me ask you a question right quick. You out there in Vegas, like, do you, like, play the strip and go out and hang and chill, or do you just, like play the book and try to get some money?
I'm pretty boring. You know, I got to be honest. I'm on the wrong side of 50, dude. I don't do anything. You know, I got a kid. I go to Little League games. You know, I mean, it's
and
not
Teddy
that he
goes out once or twice
and,
a year when I come to town.
That's it.
It's not like every Friday night I'm hanging out on the strip and going clubbing and all that. You know, once in a while we'll get down, you know, and of course, when you live in Vegas, a lot of the activities, you know, you meet people at the strip, you go out to dinner at the strip, you go see a movie at casinos, you go bowling at casinos, you know, whatever activities you have are often located in casinos. But You know, I'm not out there bringing out two dimes like, hey, let's sit down at the craps table tonight. You know, I learned that lesson the first year out here. If you want to stay in Vegas and live in Vegas, you can't be trying to beat the table games because you can't beat them. There's a mathematical edge against you.
It's crazy. When I moved to Vegas, people were like, oh, I'm rich. He'll never last there. He's a jitter. He's going to be in the casinos all night, every night. I went to bed earlier when I lived in Vegas than I've ever gone to bed in my life.
Really?
Interesting.
I swear to God, Michelle. Here now, I wake up at 6:45. That's when I wake up. I go to bed at about 2 a.m.
Yeah.
In Vegas, I used to be in bed by like 10:30, 11. I was like, oh, man, I'm wiped out.
Yeah. Wow.
The desert, you get up early. But in Vegas, I would note, I was like an old man. Right, Teddy? You know the drill, too. I was up at 6. Like, I was like an old man. Like, 5:45, 6. I'd be eating breakfast over at IHOP and looking over the games. And you know what I mean? I was like an old man. Even my ex-girlfriend at the time, she hated it.
Yeah.
He goes, you've turned into an old man. Because it would be like 5 o'clock, Corey.
Yeah.
It'd be like dinner time. Yeah. You know, it'd be like time to go to the buffet.
Yeah, and that's it.
She's like, bro, you're like a senior citizen. You're living. I'm like, it's dinner time, honey. It's the buffet.
It's the buffet.
And I was so cheap, Teddy. I was like, listen, the buffet becomes an extra $5 after 6 o'clock. We've already discussed this. Right? It's like the early bird.
Hey, Teddy, most interesting game on the NFL slate this weekend, at least from a betting standpoint, from my perspective, I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers laying 3 to D.C.
I think it's a trap, man.
It is a trap. And we agree. We disagree.
What do you think, Teddy?
It's a trap game, but the trap is betting D.C. Tampa Bay is going to cover this number. What do you think, Teddy?
I'm with you 100%. I'm with you 1,000%. Look, you can't win NFL games when you lose 4 of your 5 starting offensive linemen and your deep play threat and your passing running back. They lost all that last week, you know? I bet against the Redskins last week. It was real easy. I'm going to bet against the Redskins this week. I expect it to be real easy. Tampa can score. Their defense is no good, but that offense is just fine. And we know Alex Smith, if they're down by 10 points, the game's over because Washington's passing attack cannot create big plays downfield, especially with Richardson out and especially without their offensive line, Bucks or pass. I don't see the trap here. This week, Tampa's a better team.
Michelle?
Hey, Teddy, so I'm going to the Eagles Cowboys game on Sunday. The Eagles are the 7-point favorite. Who do you think will cover?
Nice job, Michelle.
That's a hard game. I mean, it's not a game that I'm planning on getting involved in. Oh. In theory, you're supposed to take Philly here, and Philly's supposed to smack them, and Philly off the bye.
Exactly.
Philly now with Golden Tate at receiver.
I'm thinking, no, Dallas are probably, because I think Johnny Public's going to say, I just saw Dallas suck on Monday Night Football. Eagles kill them. And listen, I was on the Titans on Monday. I'm trying to talk myself into the pokes here on Sunday night.
You know, honestly, if you like Dallas, wait. This line's only going up. The sixes, 6.5's all gone right now. I'm looking at mostly, you know, it's sevens and 7- juice in some places right now as I look at my live odds screen. This line's going to 7.5. So if you like the Cowboys, take your time. And let's not forget, last week the sportsbooks got absolutely destroyed. It was a bad week in week 7. It was a bad week in week 8. It was a disaster week in week 9 for the sports books here in Las Vegas. This is going to be a public play all over Philadelphia after 3 weeks in a row the sports books got beat, including a whipping last week. Bookmakers be rooting for Cowboys. I wouldn't be surprised if they get there.
Ted Savrinsky, sportsmemo.com. He's also one of the covers experts, and he's got a write-up on this Washington and Tampa Bay game. Over at covers.com, which he's liking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tricky week in the NFL this week. How about the Saints and the Bengals, in which the number I saw hit 6, now back down to 5.5. Here's another one of these teams that been playing some real big football games. That road win at Baltimore. They go into Minnesota and they get the Vendetta game, the revenge game. Then you know last week's showcase showdown with the LA Rams. And now everybody's on same bandwagon, laying 5.5, 6 on the road here, Teddy. What's your take on that one against the Bengals?
So from a theoretical perspective, okay, forget the matchups. Forget the teams. From a theoretical perspective, this is why you can't be betting the Saints this weekend, okay? 6 straight covers. 3 straight huge games that were intense. Now they're going on the road, laying more than a field goal. No.
To a team
That's
off a bye.
Win long term betting NFL. Bengals are pass.
To a team off a bye. Teddy, it's great to have you on the show, my man. Great stuff. We'll send you the video link a little bit later on. Ted Savransky, you can find him on Twitter at Teddy Covers. Sportsmemo.com, one of the covers experts. Thanks, Teddy.
Cheers, guys. Have a great weekend.
Ken Savransky on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
If you're someone that needs fantasy sports advice every day, the Fantasy Sports Radio Network has you covered. When you download the FNTSY Sports Radio Network app, you get the top fantasy advice every single day right through the weekend. Be sure to listen to our weekend warriors like College Football Today.
Welcome to College Football Today.
Weekend Fantasy Update.
They call me the Fantasy Jesus.
In this league,
it is never short of exciting at ITL.
And so much more. Download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app in the iTunes and Google Play Store now. And keep the best fantasy experts right in your pocket all day long and all week long.
Great song.
Quality music.
Oh, now you like it.
I think this is the Hotel California joint.
Yeah, yeah,
it
is.
There you go. Y'all can't
performed by who? What band? What artist?
The Who.
No.
No, it's the same sort of era.
I don't know.
My team. What's
they're
my
a team.
Team.
They're named like a team.
They're called the Eagles.
Yes.
The Eagles. Are you an Eagles fan? Because like the Eagles, the band, and
no,
now
it's no, that's just a silly coincidence.
Name. What the Eagles?
Great name. Actually.
Silly name for a band. Great the name. Eagles.
That's weird. Yes, I thought
they fly and they win.
Gabe, when you asked, when you told us it was just a team name that sang the song, I wrote in Booty Grabbers. I was
oh, yeah. No, that I guarantee there probably is a rapper called MC Booty Grabbers
yeah,
somewhere,
sure
but
is.
I'm imagining yeah, it's like
2018. I'm sure there
it's
is.
It's like some stripper crunk type music yeah. or something.
Yeah, Gabe, I'm on favorites in the league tonight, Gabe. Am I doing that wrong?
Have what, you looked any association?
In the association, I'm on favorites tonight. I like the Jazz laying at 4.5 versus the Celtics. Celtics coming off the back to back tough comeback last night, going overtime. Nuggets are in town, laying 9.5 to the Nets. I like that. And the Pistons are in Atlanta, laying 4.5 to the Hawks. The Hawks stink. I like that. I like those. I don't see no live dogs tonight. Maybe. Nah, not the Pacers. I like Miami. I don't see no live dogs tonight, Gabe.
You know who the live dog is, and it's sort of I know it's a weird night tonight. It is. It's tricky.
The live dog is the Magic.
The Orlando Mat, yeah. You know what? That's you're not crazy because the Washington Wizards. I've been saying for 2 years the Wizards need to be broken up, bro.
They stink. Son.
Bradley Beal and John Wall, they can't play together.
Son, they stink.
And look,
they,
remember it was Gortat because Gortat started talking smack. They got rid of him. It's not just him. They need to start over.
Yeah, they got to blow the joint up.
The game that catches my eye tonight: the Sacramento Kings,
Sactown,
the Minnesota Timberwolves. I was on the T-Wolves the other night. We were getting 6 against the Lakers, but it's amazing the T-Wolves just find ways of losing games. And I know Sacramento's coming off a loss to the Raptors, but I don't think there's any shame in that. I think they can get back on track. You know what I mean?
Sacramento at home, 3.5.
I'm tempted by Boston plus the 5. Even though they played last night, Utah is not in sync, man. Without Donovan Mitchell, bro, they're not the same team. You know, and... interesting. Gordon Hayward going back to Utah. Even though I think Quinn Snyder is every bit as a coach as Stevens. I think Brad Stevens is an overrated coach, but we'll save some hot basketball takes for down. Let's get back to the football.
Mitchell was out.
Yeah, he was. He has been this week.
Did
he come back?
I feel like Mitchell played and had a crazy dunk last night.
Did he come back? I think he's just back.
Yes,
just back.
Yeah, he just
one
got,
game back.
He got back last night. Yeah.
He didn't play against the Raptors. Or
I know he didn't play against the Raptors.
Yeah, he just got
but
back.
I had turned on some highlights this morning, and I saw him take off from, like, the free throw line.
You know, that's the one thing. I love the NBA, but it's one thing I hate about the NBA.
Highlights?
No, who's going to play and who's not playing.
Son, you got to be on top of that.
Dude, it's insane. It's too early in the day for me. I get,
my
you know,
bad.
I get discombobulated about this stuff. All right, so let's get back to the football, though.
Sure.
We got sort of stuck on that Jim Caldwell stuff, but shout out, Coach. Yeah, we should get him on as an analyst here. We like him so much.
I agree.
Coach Caldwell, hey, what
Coach
do you think
Caldwell,
of the game?
What do you think of the game? You know what I'm saying? Well, I thought
sure he
I...
wouldn't mind hanging out with Michelle.
No, he like, all right, well, how you doing, young lady?
Wait, who is this?
Jim Caldwell, former coach at the Indianapolis Colts.
There was a Hall of Famer. There was a Hall of Fame football player, and there was a
I said Indianapolis Colts, I mean Detroit Lions.
Former colleague of me, you're thinking of Marshall Faulk.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there was.
Did we both start laughing for the same reason just now?
What's funny, though, is that the Toronto Studios, Fantasy Sports Network.
Beautiful studio.
Ashley Docking, great girl.
Yeah.
Smart broadcaster. We had an NFL Hall of Famer, and I go up to her after. I said, how did it go with the interview? He goes, well, after other than him asking if I wanted to perform oral sex on him after the interview.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
that
he basically
very forward.
You know, he was a Hall of Famer, and he basically said, "You want me, don't you?"
Yeah, them Hall of Famers, they don't. Them Hall of Famers.
And she told me that it was the second Hall. She goes, same thing. She goes, NFL Hall of Famers. They
no.
And she goes, the thing is, the guy's an old man. She goes, all due respect, like, I don't really care. You're in the Hall. Like, she's in the Hall of Fame, and she's like, he's an old man. Like, why does he even?
They
like,
think still got it.
Yeah.
Oh, some of them might still have it.
Well, some of them might.
Well, they still got it thanks to Viagra, but it doesn't mean that the young girls want to get it.
Exactly. That's what some old guys don't get.
Yeah, some NFL Hall of Famers, they got some, I'll tell you some stories that I can't tell you about some certain people in the NFL Hall of Fame.
Yo,
they go hard, you know what I'm saying? They get that gold jacket is like, I can say anything I want.
There's a reason why all these former NFL coaches and Hall of Famers all pimp Cialis and Viagra. Picture, I am Terry Bradshaw. You might not realize I still use my penis as much as I do, but I do, trust me. All right, Jacksonville and the Colts down to 2.5 points. This is another tricky game this week. We're going to start with Michelle Serpicaldo. She's biased. Andrew Luck versus Blake Bortles. So if we're going on which quarterback is the most attractive man, clearly
obviously,
Andrew Luck and the Colts is the pick.
No.
He's got that nice unshaven mountain man look.
No. If we're going on looks, it's obviously Blake Bortles.
I'll tell you
like
right now
mile.
That if you were my daughter
and
like you were like, I found out, like you told me I'm dating an NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
I'd think like, oh God, not Blake Bortles. Like, Andrew Luck seems like a nice guy. At least.
Andrew Luck's a nice guy.
Yeah, Andrew Luck will take you to Europe, and he's interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
Bortles seems like, shut up, honey. We're going to Arby's.
Yeah, leave me alone.
I like Arby's.
You really are a dream girl. Huh? She likes football, Arby's.
Her fries are so good.
All right, well, listen.
Yeah, I know, but Michelle makes
you like
it seem,
I love it.
Michelle makes it seem like, you know, like she's there's no vainness in her at all, Corey.
No,
like
yeah.
I've seen the new dude here. Like the guy, you know, he's not a homeless looking, beaten down dude. Like
yeah, exactly.
Michelle's like, oh, I like beards and no teeth, except she might like you, but she ain't dating you.
Right.
Yeah, she like you. Yeah. I heard your new boo is pretty clean cut.
Yeah, he is, but he grew his beard. So we had his beard the other day, and he's like, do you want me to keep my beard? And I was like, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Look at you. Yeah, so you I'm want to just see that a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, and he dresses nice. So yeah, he's not what you would think.
So he's already stopped thinking for himself.
Just like that, Bones.
First comes love.
You do the same, Bones. Bones would have a beard like down like ZZ Top. Who are you taking here? Jacksonville or Indianapolis? Corey?
I'm going to go with Indianapolis.
This is
you're
right
going,
here.
You're going with Indianapolis.
Even though I love Blake Bortles, I'm going with Indianapolis.
What I'll tell you is this. This is one of the tougher games on the docket for me this week. This one with the Colts and the Jaguars. Now, the Colts are playing good football, but like against nobody. All of a sudden, the Colts have a good offensive line, and the Colts can run the ball. They're protecting Andrew Luck. Jacksonville is kind of going in the wrong direction. But my thing is, always bet on the team with their back pushed furthest against the wall.
This is a season on the line defining game.
And the Jacksonville Jaguars,
but they're just not that good.
Back
That's
is
the
against
problem.
The wall. The secondary is not playing as well. They can't run the football. So this is the week where, listen, they do have to pass the ball because of their running game is in shambles. I would take a – Carlos Hyde is interesting this week. You need to start him in fantasy. I am in one league. He could have a good game because the Colts can't stop nobody. So if it's going to happen for the Jaguars, it's got to happen this week. So I think the Jaguars are in play. I wouldn't touch this game, but we're talking about it on the radio. My lean would be Jacksonville Jaguars. They have to have this division game.
For you trend players, this is the type of great stuff you get from Mark Lawrence's database. Play on any NFL favorite off a bye week if they scored 36 or more points in their previous game. By doing so, the cash register rings to the tune of 44-20-3 against the spread since 1980, including 37-11 against the spread when facing a sub-600 opponent. Dress these guys to the nines and bring them in as favorites of less than 9 points, and suddenly they're 28-4 against the spread. This week finds the Indianapolis Colts in this situation. I think the Indianapolis Colts are the play here.
All right.
I don't love it.
Would you play it?
Yeah, I'm going to sprinkle on it.
All right.
Sprinkle on it. Patriots and Titans. This game perplexes me. I kind of feel it's a Patriots blowout. Corey?
I don't like the game to play it either, but big win on Monday night. Patriots just kind of hanging around, laying low right now. Chance they get Michelle back this week. Gordon starting to pop. Mm-hmm. Go on the road against Vrabel, a coach that, you know, came up under Bill Belichick.
Yeah, but Patriots, short week coming off the Monday night win against Dallas.
I'd lay the 6.5 with the Pats.
I would lean with the Pats as well. I don't like this game, though. And I'll be pulling for the Titans. Saints and Bengals. This is the tricky one as well. Is it a trap? I think it is, guys. You look at the New Orleans Saints played against the Baltimore Ravens about 3 weeks ago. And it was a tough game. The game was basically a pick 'em. And you remember, that was the one that Tucker missed the extra point.
Yep.
So they nearly lost that game. You know, nearly went to overtime. They win the game. Then they go on the road against Minnesota, a very good Minnesota Viking team. It's revenge after the miracle, the Minneapolis miracle and all that crap from last year. They beat them down to get a 10-point win. They go home. They get another showcase showdown, Price is Right tilt, against the Rams. Big, big heavyweight meeting. Boom. They beat them by 10. It catches up eventually. It catches up. As good as this Saints run has been, now you're asking them to go into Cincinnati, into the Midwest, into the jungle, and beat the Cincinnati Bengals by 6 points. You know, I don't know. I guess A.J. Green's going to be out. We'll find, lock in the status there. I don't think he's going to be playing. And the Bengals have been regressing statistically. There is concerns to me that the Saints are going to be able to move the football, but I also conversely believe that Joe Mixon's going to have a nice game, and the Mixon's going to be able to run the ball. I'm calling a Saints win.
Ooh, money line.
No. Saints win, Bengals cover.
Oh, okay, Saints
it's
win,
It's
going to
be one of these deals where the Saints escape, bro, with like a 30-28 win, 27-24. They're going to win, but they won't cover. Give me the home dog and the Bengals.
Yeah, I like the home dog in this one, too. I think the Bengals are in a position right here where they're catching them kind of at the right time. The Saints might come and see a little extra hair on their chest. You know what I'm saying? Kind of smelling themselves a little bit this week. I want it at 7.5. Right now it's sitting at 6. I'll take it at 6 if that's the best I can get. I want to see where it's at on Sunday morning.
Da-na-na-na.
Now, with no A.J. Green.
Michelle just hears a riff for a second. Metallica.
With no A.J. Green, we're going to see what Tyler Boyd is made of this week. Because he gets number one corners now.
Good point.
So there you go right there. John Ross is a bum.
And that Redskins-Bucks game, I'm telling you guys, I think it's a trap. You can't lay points with Ryan Fitzpatrick. You're throwing money away.
At only 2 years old, Owen was diagnosed with aplastic anemia and urgently needed a bone marrow transplant to survive. Fortunately, an anonymous donor stepped up, and today Owen is a happy, healthy 5-year-old. Unfortunately, there are many other patients who still need a bone marrow transplant. 60% of them won't be lucky enough to get a second chance at life. You can change that. Join DKMS in the fight to delete blood cancer today. Register at DKMS.org.
Up next on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, 12 p.m. Fantasy BFFs with Greg Sussman and Frank Stample, 1 p.m. Fantasy Football Frenzy with the very average Corey Parson, Chris Natura, and Jim Day, 2 p.m. replay of Roto Experts in the Morning Show with Dane Martinez and Scott Engel, 3 p.m. replay of the Fantasy Sports Today Morning Show with Mike Blewett and Dane Martinez, 4 p.m. Game Time Decisions with Gabriel Morenci and Cam Stewart, 6 p.m., the Game Time Decision Show with Gabriel again, and Cam transitions to Lineup Block Live. 7 p.m., Scout Fantasy Sports with a little bird or something.
The bird-chested Adam Ronis.
Bird-chested Adam Ronis, as Corey says. All times are Eastern Standard Time. You can listen to all the programming totally free on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, website, or on iHeartRadio or TuneIn.
Hey, guys, programming note real quick. Frankie's out today, and Alex from downstairs joins the sauce on the BFFs.
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Interesting. Good stuff. Interesting. Alex, the Steeler fan.
Yeah, here we go.
He's
going
to be in a good
Alex.
Mood after last night.
It's interesting. I asked for Alex to be a part of the Sunday show.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's got a busy week.
Well, no, I was shot down. And now Alex is the BFF. I guess Mr. Sussman made an executive call, huh?
You know what? I was on the fence. Should I come in Sunday? I didn't come in this past Sunday, but I know you and Engel had such a great time hanging out.
Oh, my God. It was a blast.
Wait, what did you guys do?
No, it was cool. I love working with Scott.
Oh, I wish I watched that show.
Yeah, you should have.
I'll be in Sunday, though. I'm going to the football game Saturday.
All right.
I planned on shutting things down a little earlier this week than I did last week.
Nice job. Look at that.
Quickly on this before we get to Michelle Serpico. Chris Webber. There's a lot of talk about this new Duke team and Fab Five references. Chris Webber was on the Dan Patrick show and he's asked about the comparison to Duke. This Duke team to the Fab Five. He said, you remember like 3 or 4 years ago? That's how funny this is. I don't remember who was on the so-called best team ever, that Kentucky team. People were saying they would have destroyed us and all that. I don't even know who was on that team. I'm not dogging them. What I'm saying is until you do it, I really don't care about that other stuff. Like, yeah, they had a great game. I love those young kids. I hope they do well. But as far as the narrative is, you've got a long way to go. It's a long season. I'm sure Coach K is telling them we won one game. So what? Now, I've been a lifelong Michigan Wolverine sport fan. You know, well, I've been lifelong since about 1978. All right, so, you know, I lived through every moment of that Fab Five stuff. I had thousands of dollars on the games and the whole nine yards. But I got to tell you, there's a little piece of Corey Parson in Chris Webber and in Jalen Rose in that.
Greatness?
No, they actually talk.
Handsomeness?
I was just going to say that.
They keep talking like they actually won something.
Oh, boy.
Like
I'm
how,
a Michigan
like
fan.
Like how the Red Sox won the World
Series? Like, I'm just stating like. You know, like Chris Webber says, well, you can't compare them to us. They've got to go and do it. Do what? Do what? You lost!
Yeah, they got to go get a Final Four banner.
The Fab Five never even won a freaking Big Ten title.
You got to go.
You won nothing.
You got to go get a Final Four banner.
You know who won? Ramil Robinson won. You know who won? Glenn Rice. That's who won a national championship. I love the Fab Five. I love you guys. But I see Jalen Rose in the 30 for 30. Well, you can't even name who was on the North Carolina team. Yeah, well, you know what, bro? They're wearing rings. You're not. It's like the Fab Five has somehow embraced being famous. You know what I mean? Like, they almost set the tone for the modern NBA player and basketball player that it's more important to have baggy shorts and be famous and cool than actually win. And I hate to say it because I love Michigan, but it bothers me to hear Chris Webber talk about, well, they need to prove it. Prove what?
Yeah.
This Duke team, Chris Webber, they don't need to prove anything to you, bro. They need to prove that they're as good as the Duke teams. Remember the Duke team, Webber, that beat you? I do. I remember. You know, stop acting like we, you know, yeah, we were cool. We were hip. We didn't win. You know, this stuff. Oh, they need to prove it. Prove what, bro? Mm-hmm. Come on, man. What do you got, Michelle?
So Thursday was a day to forget for the Carolina Panthers, and the officials added insult to injury when they ejected safety Eric Reed late in the third quarter of the matchup against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Reed was ejected for a hit against Roethlisberger when the quarterback was scrambling downfield, starting to slide. Reed's shoulder hit Roethlisberger's head as he dove.
You know what he really
should have
done, Michelle?
What?
He should have just taken a knee.
I knew you were going to say that. What was cool about that moment? Hold on.
I like Eric Reed, but it was there.
That's easy. That's easy. Yeah. That's easy one. That's a slam dunk, Kate.
That was funny.
Yo. Last week after the Panther game, Eric Reed got the game ball. It was so funny. And somebody in the background screamed out, go ahead, Brother Malcolm. after the hit, though, Eric Reed did dap up Ben Roethlisberger. It was all good. So it was good to see that moment of sportsmanship.
And we've got some women taking pictures in the studio here. I think they're taking a picture of you.
I think they were taking it of Corey.
Michelle's just so popular. Yeah, the Corey is, you know, when people take pictures of Corey, it's private investigators.
Corey really does, by the way.
They're reporting back to someone. Is this the man that owes you the money?
Every lady in this place, every lady in the joint knows Corey. And every time I see Corey, he's like talking to a different one of them. Like people that work in the hotel, people that work in the restaurant.
Oh, Corey makes a point of it.
Yeah.
He's the mayor.
He's the mayor of Harlem. What are you talking about? You know what I'm saying?
Hey, he's the mayor.
It's so funny.
I was talking to Red Lipstick the other night after a few drinks.
Oh, yeah, that's your girl.
And I said, yeah, I'm going over to MSG and trying to get Corey to go. She's like, aren't you guys barred? Corey said I can't, you know, I can't go in there. I'm like, thinking, what is this, Corey? Like, they know everything about him?
They love me.
Would you go out there and do you describe the show to her after every show?
No. Well, they do ask me what happened on the show today and stuff like that. Listen. The people here have come to know and love the Fantasy Executive. How could you not love the Fantasy Executive? For real, how could you?
What else do you got? We got to blast through some more NFL picks, too.
Carolina
got
Panthers quarterback Cam Newton had the perfect description of his team's showing against the Steelers last night. He said, we just got whooped, man. It happens.
Yeah, and it's a throwaway to tape game.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no nothing to panic about. And there's nothing to panic about for Carolina. And there's also nothing to overreact about with Pittsburgh. I saw a lot of people after, Pittsburgh's going to the Super Bowl. Pittsburgh's going to the Super Bowl. Listen, the playoffs are going to be a lot of fun this year, man. You got Pittsburgh, you got Kansas City, you got New England. But I hate to say it, but like Chris Webber was saying, until you do it, it don't mean nothing.
Yeah.
Until you show, people in the AFC, until you guys show you can beat the Patriots, you know, we still pencil the Patriots to go to the Super Bowl right now.
I got them in the AFC Championship game.
Michelle?
Marcus Peters had a message for Sean Payton after the Rams' first loss. He said, tell Sean Payton to keep talking ish. We'll see him soon. I like what he was saying on the sidelines, too. Tell him to keep talking that ish. I hope we see them soon. You feel me?
Ooh.
And we'll have a nice ball of gumbo together. I like gumbo.
Nice.
Basically, Sean Payton was talking smack during the game last week.
Uh-huh.
You know, that all day long type stuff. And then he said after that they were very, very happy to get Michael Thomas in coverage against Marcus Peters. And then his exact words, he goes, we'll take that matchup any day.
I like that.
So Marcus Peters heard that and said, I also heard you talking smack to me during the game from the sideline. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm one of these guys. I don't think coaches should talk smack to players.
No.
But Sean Payton's the type of guy that it's just he is who he is. And it's almost like he's one of the guys. So I really don't have a problem with it. But at the same point in time, if you're Peyton, don't be surprised if guys start mouthing out back at you, right? And that's the thing. Like, you notice, like, who was the announcer? I didn't see it live. I don't know, Corey. Maybe you were here. Who was the announcer that freaked out? That was it Joe Buck again?
When?
What about Joe Horn's phone celebration? It was Aikman didn't like it, right?
Yeah. Aikman didn't like
it. Yeah, Aikman. It's a disrespect to the game because Horn, he put a phone in the
Listen, that's, come on.
No, but how come they picked
Mike
the player?
Mike Francesa went crazy on that, too. He got a 15-yard penalty.
Shut up, Francesa.
It's not that important. Come on, now. The kids are having a good time.
I'm surprised Francesca knows who the Saints are, actually, at this point in time, to be honest. And I'm not trying to, you know, start anything like that. I'm just stating, like, at some point, dude, like, throw the towel in. But, you know, so the announcers are pissed off about, the cell phone. If they don't say anything about the coach, right, talking smack to players.
Exactly.
They shouldn't say, I don't know if it's appropriate if Sean Payton is insulting Marcus Peters during the game.
Sean Payton, the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
The same Sean Payton that used to help himself to the painkillers like they were Tic Tacs from the medicine cabinet.
Yeah,
saying, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, he used to go into those.
That's actually why I like him.
He used to go because
I know he's baked.
Yeah, he used to go into the office, to the doctor's office in the facility,
it was out of control.
Yeah. Wow.
The New Orleans Saints were told they were basically like, guys, you went through like 8,000 Percocets in a month.
Oh my god!
And it was and it turned out that it was a
Sean Payton.
It was a help yourself chunk mentality.
Yeah. Wow!
It was basically just sort of, hey, can I get some pills?
Oh, my God.
So basically, everyone in New Orleans was hopped up. Goofballs. Goofballs, everybody. He's high on goofballs. Great coach, though. What else you got for us?
The Philadelphia Flyers' big orange mascot has certainly made an impression on folks, kind of like Corey, not in Camden, New Jersey, though, where he collected 14 total write-in votes for a variety of positions in the recent election. Among them, Grady scored a pair of votes to be the Camden County Sheriff. I mean, it's not really an honor to be anything involved in Camden, but anyway. two for the U.S. House in New Jersey District 1 and 10 votes spread among 5 Board of Education seats, including 5 Haddon Township alone. Camden is, it's southern Jersey. It's the worst.
It'd be less corrupt than Bob Menendez is.
I think it's the most dangerous city, actually, in the U.S.
Is it?
Camden? If it's not, it's close.
It's that or Detroit.
Detroit's not that bad.
No one's on the street in Detroit.
Oh, yeah, Detroit's turned the corner the past couple years.
It's a ghost.
I don't know if this is true or not, but somebody has sent me a DM and told me they wrote me in for governor of Florida.
Yeah. Oh, for Florida?
Yeah, and I'm like, Florida's important. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
it
vote
is.
For a real person in
it
Florida.
Yeah, you know
it
when
Florida's
you consider,
important.
Actually, there was a difference of 34,000 votes in
the
entire state of Florida?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Don't write me in.
You could have voted for the other brother that lost the razor close, like the Gillum guy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, there's something about Florida. They're insane, obviously. We already know this.
Yeah.
But you see all their elections and stuff.
There are people from Florida or something.
There's going to be recounts, right? Like they're suing and there's voter fraud. There's always something.
Right.
All right, what else you got?
Marcus Peters had a message for Sean Payton after the...
Yeah, suck
it. Wait, I read this one. Sorry. Hold on.
They said he was going to eat some gumbo.
Yeah, he was going to eat some gumbo. I read all my stories.
That's it.
Yeah,
well, if Craig was here, you'd have been getting whipped creamed.
I would have been getting whipped cream.
You'd have been getting whipped cream.
Right, about whipped cream? But you did have a prediction for the football game on Sunday night. Can you show us what's going to happen?
I am taking the Eagles to cover by 7.5 favorite.
All right.
I said it wrong. I think I said
you got it.
You're laying the points for the Eagles.
Anyway, it's going to do.
What are you about to do, Michelle? Where the hell are you going?
Yeah.
Hey, Michelle. Oh. Don't do that. Oh. The Dallas Cowboys star. Michelle, do not go next to my Dallas Cowboys star.
Can we get a shot? Like, hold on. Can we get the shot? Like, can people realize that we have a little mini star on the carpet there? Like.
Hey, Michelle, don't do that. Hey, Michelle.
Yeah, you can feel free to dance on the star here a bit, too.
That's disgusting. Y'all
Michelle doesn't
want to
dance
Cowboys.
On the star. She's thinking, I don't know, I might get a gig with Jerry down the road. He likes chicks. All right,
So Monday I will not be here. I have to a family obligation.
Yeah, and Monday's the start of our new era, actually.
But don't worry, it's only Monday I won't be here. I'm not going.
People are
going to
be wondering.
Don't worry. I know
if Michelle
not going
to be here on the first day of the new show, then everybody's going to be like, what the hell happened to Michelle?
Yeah.
But no, she has an obligation.
You're saying that Corey's delusional. I think what we should do, Corey, and I'll be right there with you. We'll just put like a blonde wig on a dude or something.
Oh, yeah.
We'll
just sit him in here. Don't forget, balloons on
his shirt. And balloons under his shirt. We can get Angle. Let's get Angle to sit over there with a blonde wig on. Hey, everybody, have a good night. I like the favorites in the NBA tonight. Trust me, with Tampa on Sunday.
We didn't even get to the Raiders laying 10. The Packers are laying 10, and the Rams are all laying 10. I think the Seahawks can cover that number. Chargers are going to smoke the Raiders. We'll have more picks later in the day. We'll be on at 4. Fantasy Football Talk coming up next. Other than that, you're on your own. We'll see you on Monday. Thanks for the support, guys. Later.
At only 2 years old, Owen was diagnosed with aplastic anemia and urgently needed a bone marrow transplant to survive. Fortunately, an anonymous donor stepped up, and today Owen is a happy, healthy 5-year-old. Unfortunately, there are many other patients who still need a bone marrow transplant. 60% of them won't be lucky enough to get a second chance at life. You can change that. Join DKMS in the fight to delete blood cancer today. Register at DKMS.org.
Like, I got into it with a mother. It makes me a bad person, too. And I lost money when I got to Vegas after because I'm sort of a bad person. Whatever. I had a few too many drinks on a plane. I was going to Vegas. And I got into it with, like, a mother who had her kids. So when we landed...
Like, I'd be like, mother, why are you bringing your kids to Vegas?
Get this. It was the late night. It was the late night party flight.
It was the red...
We landed in Vegas at, like, midnight Vegas time.
If you were good parents, you would have not booked your flight then.
Yeah, when we landed, she goes, thank God we've landed. She goes, I can't take another second of your language.
Like, lady, what'd you think you were getting yourself into?
She said, I'm with my children. She goes, I'm with my children here. And I said, first off, I said, your children are like a couple of rows up and they're wearing headphones. I said, secondly, what kind of mother brings their kids on a late night flight to Vegas?
I agree with you.
And then thirdly, this is where it was kind of a dumb thing I said to her and I still kind of regret it. I said, thirdly, I didn't complain about your stupid looking pants. She had like these like yoga pants, like with sort of a flower pattern.
Yeah.
It was a dumb thing to say. But she had these pants. I said, I didn't complain about your stupid looking pants.
Right.
And she said, what did you say? I said, your pants are ugly.
Oh my God.
And then her husband got up.
Excuse me, sir.
Then her husband got up, and I was like, I said, you have a problem? I said, do you have a problem too? And she said something about me being the worst person she's ever met or something. And I told her, you know, whatever.
That was like a similar situation I was in the other day, actually, with Bones' wife when we were going up to
Taylor Stevens was there, and she got all mad at me because she goes, did you just tell this lady that she has ugly pants on? Like, somehow that was a jab? Sorry, Michelle, go on.
So we were on the subway, and then, you know, so this lady walks on. It's a packed subway. It's the marathon. I don't know where she was from, but she's like, ugh, Americans. Like, she was mad because the subway was packed, and she had her two kids with her. Lady, if you care so much, take a freaking taxi or an Uber.
There you go.
If you're mom of the year, don't bring your kids on a busy subway. What are you mad about? Go back wherever you're from, then.
American.
Don't say American.
Let me ask you that, Michelle. What do you think of this?
I'd have tripped her.
Oh, I almost did.
Guys,
and
this
I
was a big.
Her, I'm like, what is she mad that she's on a packed subway when the marathon's going on?
This was a big debate in Toronto last year, actually. 2 years ago during the playoffs when the Blue Jays still were good. 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Blue Jays are in the playoffs.
Oh, the bat flip. Bautista bat flip.
Yeah. The games are lit in Toronto in the playoffs.
I can imagine.
So there was a bad call. People in Toronto were kind of nut jobs.
They were throwing stuff on the field.
They threw
beer
cans at the field.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
There was a Blue Jay fan in the front row above the dugout with her baby. The beer hit the mother in the face.
Oh, my God.
And then the beer can didn't smash the baby, but the beer hit the mother, and then the beer spilled all over the baby.
Yeah.
And it was a big deal. Like, it was in the paper, and you've gone too far, Toronto. Like, Toronto's a crazy city. It's, like, crazier than New York. Like, people kidnap dogs, and, like, Toronto's nuts. Like, people, like, kidnap dogs for ransom and stuff. So, basically, it was like, you know, we've gone too far, Toronto.
Uh-huh.
You're throwing beers at babies now. Our stance, a lot of people's stance was, who brings a baby
to a playoff
baseball game in the front row above the dugout? And we should note, the game before was, like, a bench-clearing brawl.
It was.
You know, people
that
in Toronto have been throwing things on the field the whole series.
That series was against the Astros?
The Rangers.
The Rangers, yes. That series was
wild. They hate each other.
That series was wild. Remember that series?
Yeah, people throw things all the time. I got hit in the face with a magnet once at a Blue Jay game.
Oh, my God.
A magnet? Yeah, a fridge magnet. Like, the big thing that people were throwing them like frisbees at the field at the Red Sox.
Good for them.